Welcome to God's Laws for Business. In this session, we are continuing on the subject of the law of starting where you are with what you have. With a short review of the first session, we learned about John and how he had been working for a low-level paying job at the government. What could he do to improve his finances? He didn't have anything but his 2 feet, and he created a delivery business to the neighboring city just to pick up groceries and supplies that people needed in his little town. This business started just by helping his elderly neighbor. She needed things just like him, and it saved money, and it was a blessing to her. Only starting with his 2 feet, he then grew to having a bicycle, and then to a motorcycle, and eventually even to buying his own first car. Amazing! He realized that he needed to create systems, an easier system for the people to place their orders. It had been taking him more time to get the orders than it was to get the actual transportation of all the products he needed. It was a great story, and we learned many things from this example, and it's very representative of what could happen for you. The law of starting where you're at with what you have is applicable to all stages of the business cycle. For example, starting your new business. This applies particularly here, but also these lessons apply for someone that has a business and they are ready to start a new growth in their existing business. My banker friends inform me that one of the reasons businesses fail is they try to grow too fast. And these laws will apply when you are ready to grow to the next level in your business. And third, these lessons will apply when starting to fix problems in your existing business. Not every business is running smoothly. And when there's a problem, what do you do? These lessons are for you as well. The common element, regardless of where you are in the business cycle, is starting where you are with what you have. Let's look at some biblical examples to know that God is in this lesson and wants you to learn it well. God often used what people had as the first step in their miracle on the way to success. For example, a widow woman only had one last jar of oil, but God kept refilling this jar of oil to the point she was able to pay all of her debts. She was willing to start with what she had, one oil jar. This story is found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Another example in Scripture was when Jesus performed his first miracle. Jesus used existing jars and filled them with water, and when the water was poured out, it was changed into very high-quality wine. This is found in chapter 2, verse 11. And once again, Jesus feeds 5,000 people using a few fish and loaves of bread. This happened several times, but one recording of this is in John chapter 6, verse 1 through 15. Look these up and read them. You will see that God directed people to start with what they had. Now let's look at how you might apply these laws and the law of starting with what you have and where you're at. Number one, remember our first priority is to achieve financial stability in your household. This normally comes by paying yourself a fair wage when you're working inside your own company. This has to come before you try helping others, and God will honor that. Look up and read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Having a financially stable household needs to come before you chase your dreams and follow your passions. Number two, God has given you exactly what you need for where you are in life. Many times it's just a matter of opening your eyes and seeing things differently, or changing the way you think. Number three, start with what you have, where you are, with who you know. This sure could apply for those that have existing businesses. Use those levers of who you know. No college or secondary school degree is required. Use whatever level of education you have. Many people have been tricked into never ever starting because they didn't think they have the education needed. You can start where you're at with what you have. And number four is to regularly set aside money into an emergency savings account. At first, having a personal savings account seems absolutely impossible because you're saying to yourself, I don't have enough money for all my bills anyway. How can I set aside some savings? But I suggest that you actually sort of trick yourself. Take just a little money and put it away and don't tell anybody about it. Maybe not even the rest of your family, because you have to be in charge of your future. And then add to it just a little bit. Add a little bit more, and don't take it out when you're needing just something like an extra meal or Coca-Cola. You have to be disciplined to manage your money. Now, in addition to your personal savings account, you can join a group where the group is saving money for emergencies. These are called something like a VSLA, Village Savings and Loan Association, or a community savings group. There's many names for the same social funding that you need here. Look this up. Try to find one. Join. By doing this, you will help your family survive the storms of life when they come. And they will come for everyone. In truth, God has given you so much, and you must learn to be a giver, a generous person as well. Learn to give to God what is God's. And we suggest that the scriptures reveal this as a 10% of your personal household income. Again, we'll talk more about this in what we call the law number 11, the law of generosity. A famous man named Zig Ziglar said it this way, "Success is not measured by what you do compared to what others do. It is measured by what you do with the ability God gave you." That's a great quote. Well, let's go on with some more lessons. Money management is important, and we will cover this in much more detail, but let's look at a few key points. You also must gain control over your money, or the lack of money will control you forever. It will cause you to make very poor decisions. Remember, don't get a loan for just an idea. Ideas are cheap. They've got to be tested. And don't get a loan for your very first business. You have business lessons that must be learned. And getting a loan, even if it's from your community savings group, needs to wait until you have a proven track record, even if it's a small idea, even if it's a small business. For those of you that are expanding your business, make sure that you expand with as little money as possible. When you're starting a business for the first time or when you're expanding a business, you got to realize it takes bravery, it takes courage. We encourage you, be brave, you can do it with God's help. Others may think you're crazy, and that's okay. Don't go with the norm. Don't be held back by other people's opinion. And don't be too proud to consider taking opportunities to make money when it appears that that job is beneath you and you're concerned about what would people think. Plant one small business seed and discover how to help it grow healthy and strong. It's like planting a garden. And then scale up. Plant multiple seeds and have a larger harvest. But go step by step. That's even a future lesson we'll talk more about. Here are the famous words by the inventor Thomas A. Edison. He said it this way, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it comes wearing dirty jeans and looks like work." Boy, that sums it up. Now I would like to tell my personal story. You see, I started with what I had in a very difficult situation God provided. So I have done what I'm teaching you, and you can do it too. It was in the year 1981, and I was feeling God's call on my life, and my wife was in agreement. We wanted to make a change in our life. We wanted to know more about God. So we decided to attend a Bible school some 1,600 kilometers away from our home. How could this happen? How would this work? I had a nice paying job as an engineer and a manager in a big oil company. I was very comfortable in my life. After deciding to follow God's leading, we decided to take action. I called ahead to my new city and was lining up several job opportunities. I knew I could get a job. And I found a house to live in the new city. Then we packed all of our family belongings into this horse trailer. And I hooked this behind my car, the family car, a big car. And we're ready to drive all across the country for this new adventure. Now the trip and moving into the new house went very well. And even though we had our three small children all under the age of six, as we got settled into our new home, I started calling those companies that had said, "Oh, we want to use you. We want to give you a job." But unfortunately, the economy had crashed in just a couple months. The economy had changed so much that those companies that I thought I would have a job with were not even around anymore. They had closed their doors. Instead, they were laying off people, not ready to hire me. There wasn't a single company with a single position open for me to pay me what I was expecting. And I had my wife and my family. We're in a new city. We've got rent to pay, tuition for school, food for my family. Oh, what should I do? Should I run from God's calling? Should I be like Jonah and say, oh, I made a mistake? Should I call my parents and say, oh, please help me, I'm out of money? Should I rack up personal debt? What should I do? The weight of all of this was weighing heavy on me. And I still knew that God called us to do this, and I had a level of faith that I never had before. I was attending my normal church service, and that Sunday, the pastor talked about, start with what's in your hands. I took this to heart. Yes, I said, what do I have? And I looked out my front window into my yard, and there was my horse trailer that I'd used to move, and it was my car, still there, I could use that. And I had driven that 1,600 miles to my new city. Maybe I could start there. So I did. No loan. No rich payment from my parents. No loan from my uncles. No other bank loan. We used the experience, skills, and assets that we already had to do a low-cost experiment to see if I could make this work. The next day, I bought an advertisement in the newspaper, spending less than $2, less than the cost of a Coca-Cola. And then I put in the ad, let me help you move. I didn't put the word horse when I said I had a trailer, but I put that I had a trailer to help you move. This was very humbling for me, because you see, I had a college degree. I had been very important in my other town. I was like the chief manager, the chief engineer in this big oil company. And now I am going to be sweating, working hard with my hands. I still remember those first few customers. I was just moving a few pieces of furniture, and they were paying me cash. It wasn't big. But I did start with what I have. And after completing those first moves, I kept going. I didn't stop. I applied God's laws for business, but it slowly and steadily grew over time. I managed my money really, really well. We were very controlled with our money and our spending. And I was able to grow the business from 0 employees over a period of several years to 50 full-time employees with a very large annual revenue. I learned how to manage employees, how to deal with customers, how to pay my bills, how to understand the laws of God's laws for business. The truth is that this was the step that brought me to this point to be the leader and the founder of Inspiring Better Business. Without this hardship, I wouldn't be where I am now. I started with what I had, and I took action. I did it, and you can do it too. As you are moving forward, as you are taking action, be careful to use your unique skill sets, your past jobs, your life experiences, those things that are unique to you. Look inside. Be an original with God. I strongly suggest that you take action right now. Stop right now. List 3 things that you can think of that you could start with what you have, with your skill sets and what you have, your experiences. God will guide you.